I recall definitely saying that I didn't want to have children, and I thought JT felt the same way, but it turned out that later he became more and more interested in a family until I knew, you know, he knew that he wanted to be a father. He was no longer on the fence anymore. And he wasn't going to accept no and still be in a relationship with me.
Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories outdoors. On this episode, we're going to talk about one of the biggest decisions any of us will ever make, the decision whether or not to have children. It's a life-changing question regardless of your situation, but it can feel especially daunting when you and your partner are not on the same page about it. What happens if you come to an impasse? If you simply can't agree on whether or not to start a family? My guest is the author of a memoir called It Happened Like This. Her name is Adrienne Lindholm, and for her, the parenthood decision was about much more than simply wanting kids or not wanting kids. It was a choice that called into question her entire identity, a choice that shook her marriage to the core, and that forced her to completely reevaluate who she was. So in order to understand Adrienne's dilemma, you have to understand that she was one of those people who organized her entire life around getting out into the wilderness. Adrienne grew up outside of Philadelphia, but from a pretty young age, she felt drawn to the West. In college, she lined up summer jobs in Colorado, and she later moved to Utah and Montana. She loved her adventurous lifestyle, and the more she explored, the more she sought out the wildest, most remote places she could find. Which is what eventually brought her to Alaska.
Everywhere I went, there was always this whisper, like, wow, Alaska. Alaska has bigger mountains, has wilder spaces. And it sort of became a challenge almost to myself. Like, are you up for that? And so I think if you are kind of a lover of mountains and wild places, at some point, even for a short visit, you feel a calling to come to Alaska. I ended up getting a job in the year 2000 as a backcountry ranger in Denali National Park. And I talk about that quite a bit in the beginning of my book, because that title of that chapter is called Just One Summer. And it was my intention to stay just one summer, but that was now 18 years ago.
So what was it about Alaska that made you want to stay?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, the first layer is probably the inspiring landscapes and the absolutely magnificent scenery and mountains and rivers and kind of the pristine quality of the environment to get to be able to live here and play here and move through this country is such a gift. And then I think also the culture of Alaska is so different from a lot of other places in our country. And I think it's a less judgmental kind of a place. I think people typically defy stereotypes, which creates a lot of freedom. I think we just have a lot of freedom to make choices that feel good. Rather than feeling like it's something we should be doing.
So I wanted to talk today about this question of parenthood, because this was one of the things that really struck me about your book. And, you know, so full disclosure, I don't have kids, and I'm very sure that I don't want kids. which I realize sort of puts me in a minority, at least amongst women, and certainly amongst women my age. And that was that. It sounds like that was very much the case for you too initially. And so I'm curious, why were you so set against having children?
Well, I can definitely relate to your feeling of being in this minority, because I was squarely there, and it was a little bit of a lonely place to be sometimes, because it did feel like it was something that, everyone else was really in a very different category. But for me, I simply never had that desire to have children growing up. And I think as a very young girl, I had this sense that women were tied down with children, and that to be strong and free and liberated from a lifetime of domestic responsibility, that I was not going to have children. I was very adamant about that. And as a young person enjoying life, it just didn't look fun. And then once I got, you're laughing, like, yes, you can relate to that. And then when my husband started to press me about children, I became fearful that he and I wouldn't get to do things together anymore, that all the things that I loved to do, to go on adventures and wilderness trips and spend time with friends and write creatively, that I would have to give all that up. Additionally, I'm a pretty introverted person, and I know that I need that space, a lot of space and time to recharge. I didn't naturally like children. I found them annoying and frightening and loud. And so I have to say, for those of you who have chosen not to have children, those are all really good reasons to not have kids.
When friends would tell you that they were pregnant or going to have a baby, what would go through your mind?
I would say, oh, I'm so happy for you. That's great. But I didn't believe that for one second. And sometimes it was sort of sad. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to lose you to these children, these horrible children. I recognized I had a pretty good life, and I didn't want the burden of children. I just didn't think that was going to enhance it. And that's all of those were very real and are, valid concerns when you don't have that motherly urge.
Right, because I feel like there are many women who, they're just clearly natural mothers. Like, you watch them with kids and you're just like, yes, you are going to be a great mom and you're going to love doing it. And then there are some of us who are like, I don't know what to do with this child.
Right. You know? I was never the one to say, oh, can I please hold your baby? It was a fundamental kind of understanding that I had of myself that parenting wasn't something that I was interested in. And at the same time, I had come to Alaska and sort of constructed this identity of myself as someone who spent time in the wilderness and did these trips. And the fear of losing that was kind of like, it was linked to this fear of unraveling my identity.
And maybe we should tell people here, because I think, there are wilderness trips, and then there are wilderness trips like what you were doing in Alaska, where you're getting dropped off by a plane in a place where there's literally nothing and no one, and you're just there for however long you're there until a plane comes and picks you back up again. So, like, these were not, this was very real wilderness adventures that you were going on.
Right. And, when my husband was broaching the subject at first, when we were just getting to know each other, I think we both loved the mountains and the rivers, doing long, Arctic traverses for weeks at a time, spending weeks rafting these wild rivers. And for both of us, the wilderness had become this sense of self-worth and had shaped our identities. And there was a lot that we were attached to that neither of us felt eager to change or to give up. So I think when we were young and in love, we probably dismissed the child conversation in favor of that honeymoon period harmony. I recall definitely saying that I didn't want to have children, and I thought JT felt the same way, but it turned out that later he became more and more interested in a family until I knew, you know, he knew that he wanted to be a father. He was no longer on the fence anymore.
So when your husband, JT, said that he wanted kids for the first time, how did he break that to you? How did that conversation go?
Well, he asked if I was open to having children, and I was actually wondering why on earth he would even be asking me that question. So it was a pretty tough conversation because it came out of nowhere, but for him, I think he had been thinking about it for quite a long time.
And what did you say?
Well, you know, we went back and forth I feel like we had this conversation probably 30 times over the course of a couple years. And we just had to be really honest with each other. And I had to let him know that wasn't something that was interesting to me at all. And I had to grapple hard with it and share with him all of my fears. You know, that we wouldn't get to do anything fun ever again, that we would never see each other, that we would never sleep, that our life would just be hard. And then I had to ask myself, you know, could I be okay with some of that? And could I be okay with less free time? Could I still do trips? Could I be okay not doing as many trips? And at the same time, as he pressured me more and more to the point where I realized that he wasn't going to accept no and still be in a relationship with me. And so with that knowledge, I had to be really cognizant of how easy it would be to make that decision to say yes to children based out of fear of losing JT.
It's quite an ultimatum to give someone, you know, to say either we have kids or I don't want to be your husband anymore.
Sure, it is. It is. I think he felt like he couldn't be true to himself if he, you know, forewent parenting in this lifetime. So,
how did it make you feel when he said that? I mean, I feel like that's the kind of thing that would just totally make me panic.
Oh, absolutely. It was devastating. It was absolutely devastating. It was almost like, take it back. Why do you want to ruin everything? You know? And he just kept asking and asking.
Okay, so we'll hear what ended up happening for Adrian after the break. But first, a word from our sponsor. Support for this episode comes from Care Of, a subscription service that delivers personalized vitamin packs, protein powders, and more straight to your door. So figuring out which vitamins to take can be a little daunting, but Care Of makes it super easy. The way it works is that you take an online quiz where they ask about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices. Then they take your answers and put together a regimen of vitamins tailored specifically to you. I took their quiz a while back, and a few days later, a box of vitamins arrived on my doorstep. Okay, so looks like I've got a whole month's supply of the vitamins that they were recommending for me, and they're already separated out into what I need for each day. Whether you're looking for more energy, better sleep, less stress, or something entirely different, Care of can help you give your body a boost. For 30% off your first order, go to takecareof.com and enter the coupon code OUTTHERE30. That's takecareof.com, coupon code OUTTHERE30. And now, let's get back to our conversation with Adrian Lindholm. So, as we were just hearing, Adrian's husband, JT, wanted kids so badly that he ended up giving her an ultimatum. He basically said, either we have kids or we can't stay married. And eventually, Adrian decided, okay, let's have kids. So, what actually made you change your mind? Because, like you said, you were very cognizant of this idea that it would be very easy to just say, yes, okay, we'll have kids because I don't want to lose my husband, and, you know, make that decision out of fear of losing your relationship. But that wasn't really the whole story for you. So what eventually made you change your mind?
You know, I think the most influential factor were the people around me who I trusted. We developed this incredible and inspiring community of friends here, and I trusted them deeply. And when friends who had become parents had this look in their eyes that said, you have no idea, it was almost the same look that I'd seen so many years before when I had just moved to Alaska and started to meet people who had spent so much time in the Alaskan wilderness. And it was like they would emerge from these trips with this look in their eyes that you couldn't quite figure out, like they were privy to some amazing secret. And I just wanted so badly to know what that was. And it was like they had experienced something out there that was almost untouchable. And when I saw parents have kind of a similar look, I guess it made me curious to know what that was about. So I think that, paired with the fact that I was starting to back off on some of the adventures, you know, I had been racing mountain bikes and running races and adventure races, and I started to gradually back off of some of that stuff. I was now moving into my late 30s, and at that point, I think I was just entering a little bit of a new chapter in my life. And so I think what ultimately made me change my mind was simply this idea of, I had come to Alaska to experience more, to experience more of the human condition. And it seemed like there was this thing called parenting that would broaden that range of the human condition. And so I just became curious about it. What might that be like to experience that? And to be totally honest, when I told JT that I was on board, I wasn't 100% confident. But when I did get pregnant the first time and lost the pregnancy, it was only then that I was able to gauge my true feelings about it, because that loss could have felt like a relief, but instead it felt devastating.
Well, and that's what was so interesting to me, because I get the curiosity aspect of it. You know, all of these people talk about how meaningful parenthood can be, and so, you know, it does make you wonder, like, oh, there must be something to that. But then to get from just the mere curiosity phase to the point where you want this so deeply and so viscerally, that's what's so fascinating to me, to see that shift. And I'm curious whether you have any thoughts about how that came about.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure. It's... I definitely became curious and more open to it, but without JT there asking, I don't think that alone would have moved me enough to actually want to have children. So if I was a single person, I would not have gone out and tried to find a way to have a child at that point. So it definitely was the combination of being open and really curious, coupled with a lot of enthusiasm by my partner.
So I don't want to give away everything that happens in the book. I think suffice it to say that having a kid was not a smooth process, but you are a parent, and I'm just curious, sort of now in hindsight, those fears that you had initially about, this is going to, you know, we're not going to be able to go on adventures anymore, and I won't have any alone time, and, you know, I'm going to be tied down to these children. How much of that actually came true?
Sure. Well, some of them are very real. Do not have very much free, solo, quiet, private time, and am not doing as many wilderness trips in the same way that I used to. There were a lot of things that I couldn't have really anticipated, and it really goes both ways. I think there was no way beforehand that I could even comprehend the magnitude of love that you can feel for another person. And I also didn't expect for my own children to, so, you know, I had said, wow, I felt like children were kind of irritating and loud. And I can't say that now that has changed in relation to most other people's children, but there's a huge exemption for my own. And that was one thing that really surprised me, was how these little people could just be pure, radiant love and joy. And I did not find those things irritating about them that I had previously about other people's children. And experiencing through the eyes of a child, kind of the wonder and curiosities of the world, especially the natural world, I never anticipated that that would be so thrilling.
Do you think, you know, looking back now that you have children, do you think you could have been equally happy without kids?
Oh, that's an impossible question. I really don't know how to answer that. I think our lives can fork in so many places, and every fork could potentially lead to, you know, a journey of fulfillment and happiness. And of course, it's impossible to predict everything else along the way, but I think there's always that potential there for wonder and joy and love and all of that. So I sure wouldn't want to judge one path over another. But this is clearly the path I'm on, and it feels like the right one for me, even though it didn't seem so at the time. If my 20-year-old self had heard my 40-year-old self now talking, I would have so quickly dismissed her. I would have said, that's just not me. That's not me. That might be you. That's not me. I will never want children. But here I am.
If you could go back and tell your 20-year-old self anything about parenthood, what would you tell her?
Well, you know, I guess I wouldn't want to try to talk anyone into it or not. I think it's such a personal decision, and figuring out what's right for you is such a personal quest. I wouldn't want to nudge anyone one way or another. And I would save my breath, because I wouldn't have listened to myself at that point. I really wouldn't have. I was so determined that children were going to ruin my life. And, you know, they turned out to be the richest part of my life.
That was Adrian Lindholm. Her book is called It Happened Like This. If you'd like to check it out, we have a link to it on our website. Special thanks to Alaska Public Media for recording Adrian's end of our conversation. Before you go, I have an announcement to make. We are looking for additional ambassadors to join our team. Out There ambassadors are listeners just like you who help showcase and promote the podcast. The goal of the program is to broaden our listenership as well as foster a sense of community amongst our audience. So, to give you a sense of what it's like, let's go straight to the source and hear from our current ambassadors. In case you're not already following them, I'll let them introduce themselves and talk a little bit about what it's like to be an ambassador for Out There.
My name is Max. I live in Monterey, California. I'm a big-time backpacker, runner, and I'd consider myself a rookie CrossFitter. And I'm engaged to my best friend, who's also an ambassador, Jay Gross. We consider ourselves non-binary. Our pronouns are they, them. And basically that just means for us, like, gender fluctuates, but generally we find ourselves in the middle of the gender spectrum, so not considered male and not considered female, just kind of somewhere in the dark grounds in between. So we started an Instagram page called the Non-Binary Nomads because we do a lot of traveling and, you know, we share our experience being queer in the outdoors.
So I'm Stacia, and I'm currently in nursing school. Kind of what brought me to the outdoors and my big experience in the outdoors has been based around through hiking the Appalachian Trail, and kind of the experiences that I had doing that have led me to pursue a career that will allow me to be active in the outdoors and go hiking and backpacking as much as possible. A lot of people, whenever I tell them I'm going to nursing school, they're like, why? The hours are so terrible. I'm like, no, the hours are great. There is not just the option, but often the necessity to work 12 to 14 hour days, but then you only work 3 to 4 days a week, as opposed to the typical five day work week that, like, most American jobs have. So that's really appealing to me just because of the downtime each week that it leads me to plan trips and go do fun things. I found Out Their podcast kind of by accident. I was searching the internet for, like, lists of good outdoor podcasts, and I looked it up and listened to an episode, and I was just kind of like, wow, this is really good. I really just love the storytelling aspect of it as opposed to what most other outdoor podcasts seem to do, which is interviews, can be very interesting. But to me, the stories were really compelling, and they felt super relatable. Whenever I saw the opportunity to become an ambassador, I was like, you know, I have really enjoyed listening to this podcast, and I wish more people knew about it, and I think that more people could benefit from the stories that are being told and the content that's being shared. And so it was just kind of an opportunity to spread the word about something that I already enjoyed.
I'd have to say telling people that I'm an ambassador is really cool. I've never had that before. So when somebody asked me what's my favorite podcast, which comes up pretty often, like in Through Hiking, for instance, that's a pretty big question. I'll say, well, I'm an ambassador for this amazing podcast called Out There, and you should go check it out and maybe hear my voice and go check out all my friends. And that's been really cool.
What being an ambassador has kind of done for me is it's helped me, I guess, be a little bit more thoughtful about and intentional about like some of the posts that I'm making on social media, the message that I'm sharing, and kind of reflecting on some of the experiences that I've had in a different way than maybe I had thought about them before. And in addition to that, in addition to being an ambassador and sharing the news about the podcast, it's also connected me to some really cool people that otherwise I would never have met or known anything about.
I didn't know that there was such a community behind it, I think. When I applied, it was kind of just well, maybe we'll give this a shot and see if we can, you know, be a big deal kind of thing and get more Instagram followers. Over time, though, I've realized that there's kind of this weird shift where we're not really in it for the count anymore. Like, sure, that's, you know, it's great to have a bunch of people following us, but we're kind of more about the community and the quality of people behind it.
I was looking forward to the episodes a lot before I became an ambassador. But now it's like I cannot wait until the next episode comes out because it's like I know it's going to be good. And then I get excited about trying to create content surrounding that episode, getting to kind of do some introspection and reflection on my experiences and how they relate to whatever the theme is for that episode.
So when you look at me, I'm kind of a sight to see for a lot of people, I guess. I have short hair, it's shaved on the sides. Sometimes I wear big earrings. Sometimes I don't wear earrings at all. And if somebody were to tell you that's a girl, you could see that. But if somebody were to tell you that's a boy, you could also see that. And it confuses a lot of people. So when I wear the out there gear, it kind of gives people a conversation starter, which is really cool and something that I'm trying to use to my advantage almost, where, you know, somebody will look at me and be like, well, is this a boy or is this a girl or, you know, is this neither? Like, how do I talk to this person? And so they'll use my out there sweatshirt or t-shirt or whatever to start a conversation, or, you know, so I love it. It helps me, and I think it helps people, and that's just one of the weird many ways that out there has kind of changed my life in a way.
Max and Jay are on social media under the handle Non-Binary Nomads, and Stacia can be found with the handle Adventure Like a Girl. If what they just said sounds good to you and you're interested in applying to become an Out There ambassador, just head over to our website, outtherepodcast.com, to find the application. We're especially interested in taking on ambassadors who bring an underrepresented perspective to the outdoor community. That can mean anything from ethnicity to gender to religion, sexual orientation, basically any voice that you feel needs more representation in the outdoor community. If that's you, please do apply. Applications are due May 30th, and again, you can find all the details at outtherepodcast.com. I can't wait to hear from you and welcome some new faces to the team. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Eggerking. Our advertising coordinator is Jessica Taylor. Laura Johnston heads up our ambassador program, and our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. We'll see you in 2 weeks, and in the meantime, have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.